As we know, our Lord gave us two great commandments: love God above all things and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, St. Paul focuses on that second part, love your neighbor as yourself. And he tells us that it is to love your neighbor is the fulfillment of the law. And he makes it clear, you know, the Ten Commandments, most of them are fulfilled by loving your neighbor. Don't covet, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't murder, and so on. Very clear that these commandments fit within that great commandment to love your neighbor. Now, we need to recognize, of course, that we can't separate the two great commandments. We can't separate the love of God from the love of neighbor. We do not truly love God if we do not love our neighbor. And we do not truly love our neighbor if we do not truly love God. The two are hand in hand. We must have both. One is not more important than the other. Both are equally important. Now, this term love that is used, that our Lord uses, that St. Paul uses, he's not talking about emotional love, that emotional sense that we call love. He's not talking about the sloppy sentimentalism where someone who, you know those people that they always got to hug someone. They're huggers. They're always got to hug someone. That's not quite what he's talking about. I hope that we can have that kind of affection for each other as Christians, as disciples. But that's not the love that our Lord is talking about. The love that he is talking about is expecting the best for the other, seeking the best for them, for their sake, not for ours. You know, if we truly love ourselves, we are going to want what's best for us. The best food, the best amount of sleep we need to get, the best clothes that we can afford, and so on. Well, the same goes true if we love our neighbors ourselves. We are going to seek to love them, to give them the best that they deserve for themselves. And of course, the absolute best in this world is salvation, is seeking eternal life in heaven. So our desire should be not just for our salvation, but the salvation of others. Now the problem, of course, comes in with human nature. We are not always going to like everyone. We are not always going to be happy with everyone. There are going to be those that we are going to always butt heads. It's always going to happen. It's just a part of human nature. Guess what? We still need to love them. As I try to tell people, we may not like them, but we have to love them. We have to wish the best for them. We have to wish salvation for them. And that's why our Lord gives us his rules, if you will, today in the gospel of how to interact with someone that has sinned against us, that has treated us badly, that has committed an act that is sinful. And of course, the concern for this is not just to develop our relationship, as important as that is, but to bring that person back to Christ, to bring that person back to the path of salvation. That is why he tells us to do what he says, to, first of all, to go to them and to speak to them and to try to convince them to come from their sin, to win them over, as our Lord says. And then he says to take two witnesses with you and then try again. Try to bring them back. And then finally, if that doesn't work, then you bring in the church. You bring in the teachings of the church. You bring in the scriptures. You bring in maybe the priest to try to convince them. And then and only then, as you've gone through those steps, you cut them off. You can say, okay, we've tried. But this isn't, taking this a little bit further, it isn't just talking about how we interact with people when they've committed sin. I think it's a good rule of thumb of how we interact with people who have done things that have hurt us, done things that have offended us, who have said and done things that make us now no longer like them. Maybe those people that we do butt heads with. Maybe those people who we would rather not see ever again. Our Lord is giving us advice on also how to handle that so we can restore our relationship with them so that we can also help them to salvation, help them to follow our Lord. You know, too often when we have those people that we are upset with, we don't go to them. We don't go talk to them. We don't sit, calm down, of course, first after the event happened. But then we don't go talk to them. We don't say, you know, when you did that, it hurt, or it upset me, or it was a very insulting thing to do, or whatever it might be. We don't do that. But we should. We should go to those people out of love for them, out of a desire for the best for them. We should go and meet with them at some point and say, hey, I want to fix this. I want to restore this relationship. You know, try to convince them that what they did was wrong, or that they're following a wrong path in their life, or whatever it might be. Now, sometimes it'll work. Sometimes they'll say, oh, I didn't realize. They'll apologize. They'll seek to restore that relationship, seek to restore that connection. Sometimes they won't. Sometimes they'll point back at you and say, well, it's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. You're the one who caused this. And maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. But we need to always approach this conversation with respect. Nobody likes it when you're sitting there pointing your finger in their chest. I know I don't like it when people say, your fault, your fault, your fault, your fault, your fault. So we shouldn't approach people that way. We should approach them with respect and dignity and love. Now, if that doesn't work, if we approach them as an individual, then yes, we bring others and say, you know, this really is something we want to fix. This really is something we want to overcome. This really is something we want to help you away from so that you can come back to our Lord. Again, speaking to them with respect and dignity and love. No attacking, no accusing. Although it is kind of funny, I was reminded, someone mentioned something as a creative criticism. And I kind of chuckle about that because whenever we're offering it, it's creative criticism. Whenever we receive it, it's an attack. You ever notice that? But we need to offer help for that person out of love for them. We need to try to reconnect with them out of love for them. And you know, if you try and it's clear that it's going nowhere, then maybe it's best to say, okay, we need to go our separate ways then. You go your way, I'll go mine. Maybe in the future we can reconnect again. Now notice the one thing that is missing from these scenarios, from how we approach others. That's going around behind their back and talking about them to everybody else. This is why gossip is so dangerous. This is why gossip is a sin. Because it is not treating the other person with the respect, the dignity, and the love that they deserve. It's tearing them down. It's destroying their reputation. I've heard some commentaries on the Ten Commandments that call it murder. It's murdering their reputation. This is why it's so dangerous. It's the exact opposite of loving your neighbor. It's treating them in contempt. It's treating them as less than us. It's making ourselves look better because of the hurt this person caused, or whatever it might be. We need to avoid that. We need to avoid gossip. We need to avoid spreading publicly the faults of others. Instead, reach out to them with respect and love. And if it does not, if that connection cannot be made, if we cannot bring them back, if we cannot win them over, then we just need to walk away. We need to leave it be, leave it lie. Don't spread words, whether true or false. Just don't spread it. Don't ruin their reputation because of the conflict with us. That's disrespect to them. That's not loving them, not wishing the best for that person. So may we truly take our Lord's words to heart. May we truly seek to reconcile with those that we have been separated. May we truly seek to lead back to our Lord those who have gone astray, and to do so with that respect and that love and that dignity that they deserve, truly wishing the best for them, that salvation which Christ has promised.